Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, once again, that is the sound of rock cracking, and patriots across America are listening and listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Glad you're listening to us. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. We're glad that you tune in, listen. There's other great shows. And about politics, you can listen to Newt Gingrich's show right here, WebTalkRadio.net. And I want to tell you on this week's show, we do have some great time in this 30 minutes. We're going to squeeze it all in so you'll be better informed, starting with our interview last week with Joshua Bernstein. Couldn't get everything in, so as I promised, we're going to talk presidential politics. Joshua wrote an article. He called out who he thought couldn't make it all the way, and he'll get it down to who he thinks is the only person that can win the presidency for the Republicans. And we're going to play that in just a few minutes, so hang on your hats, and maybe you'll guess. Well, what's your guess? Who do you think Joshua Bernstein will narrow it down to? I know you got your own choice. One thing we know, we will not all be correct. It'll be interesting. I heard George Will. He was in my hometown last week. I did get an exclusive question about presidential politics that I'm going to play on next week's show, and also ask him about baseball, Chicago Cubs. I got to ask George Will about that, and we'll have that on next week's show, so be sure to tune in. And I also tell you, one of the heroes of the conservative movement, one of the founders of the conservative movement in America, who helped Goldwater, she is 90 years young, and she's going to have an exclusive interview next week on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You know who I'm talking about? None other than Phyllis Schlafly. She'll be on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics next week, so get ready for that show. And talking about the presidential race, it's 2015 early. But I heard someone say there has not been this deep a bench in Republican politics in over 100 years. I've told you in previous shows, you could write down 25 names that had a shot to win the Republican nomination. Some of them may be long shots, but they're at least 10. We've talked about, and we're going to continue to talk about it throughout this year. So if you are interested in who's going to win the Republican nomination, you'll hear things here you won't hear anywhere else. And that includes my exclusive clips with George Will that on next week's show. I also want to tell you that as we talk about presidential politics, we will keep you in tune. But one of the things George Will said as he spoke to a group that I heard last week, I hadn't heard anybody said that when I told you some pundits are saying in over 100 years we haven't seen a deep bench like this. George Will told us the last time that Republicans probably had a deep bench running for a Republican nomination was 1856. You know what that means? That was the first year the Republicans had a nominee to run for the presidency of the United States. They didn't win it in 56, 1856, that is. And I'm going to tell you later who their candidate was. You know who won in 1860. His name was Lincoln. But first, before we get into the show and the interview with Joshua Bernstein, I will tell you at the end of the show, we're going to have our friend Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. There's a there's a movie out. We talk about some. Clint Eastwood's directed the movie about the life of Chris Kyle, American Sniper. So we're going to talk some about guns and the movie. So listen on at the end of the show. Before we get there, I got to ask this. Who is watching the Republicans? They promised us. They told us if we elected the Republicans, got a Republican Senate, and kept the Republican House, what did they tell us? Well, they told us they were going to, many of the candidates said, we're going to repeal Obamacare. Many of the candidates said, we're going to get the Keystone Pipeline. And my question is, who's holding their feet to the fire? Here we are at the end of January. Yes, it's early. But, you know, there's people wanting to see some action. I'm one of those people. I'm one of you said, let's do something to keep this president who keeps pushing the limits, going beyond the limits of the Constitution, breaking the Constitution. Why won't the Congress stand up for their third of the power of this government? And if the executive branch is telling the Congress what to do and just doing its own laws, that's not constitutional. You can't make the laws, and the Supreme Court can't make laws. They can declare something unconstitutional, but they can't make law. That's by the Constitution. It's only given to our legislative branch. So there's a lot of things that, you know, and if I want to tell the Republican leaders, the longer we just sit around and say we're working on things, you know, until Obama gets something to veto, yes, I know he's going to veto a lot of the good legislation the Republicans won't. But put something on the desk. Let's get something in the news besides what the foreign policy is. Very important to have foreign policy, but we elected Republicans to start undoing some things. And if they get vetoed, they get vetoed. But pass some legislation, and please, that's why we wanted a Republican Senate and a Republican House, where Speaker of the House Boehner can talk to the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. And there needs to be some communication between the American public who elected and placed in Congress the Republicans. There needs to be some communication between the Republicans and the American people. When you get good communication, you just want to say, tell me something good. Well, let's just play a song that tells us about it.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah. Tell me something good. Tell me that you like it, yeah.
Well, here's a hint to the Republican Party. The American people who put Congress in the hands of Republicans are saying, tell me something good. Let us know that we did something right by making the Republicans in charge of the House and the Senate. Tell us something good. Put some legislation on the president's desk. We don't want to wait. I'm sorry. We've waited so long to get something done in the House and the Senate. It may be vetoed. It may be laughed at by the liberal media, by the mainstream media pundits. But put something on the president's desk. You've been in a session now for 4 weeks. Please. We want to work, the American people, with the Republican Congress. You've got to tell us something good. All right, did I get my message across? Did I get my message across? I sure hope so. It's been a while. Let's get some legislation on the desk of the president. Now, I told you we're going to get into some specifics here of candidates running for president of the United States. Iowa, the several candidates come into Iowa and spoke. I should say they haven't gotten into the race. Nobody's said, yes, I'm definitely in. as far as running. There's a lot of jockeying around, and they held a summit up in Iowa like they do every 4 years. Didn't get as much press. Not everyone showed up, of course. They don't have room for everybody there. It was the conservatives, Congressman Steve King, which I like very much, helps run this conservative of conservatives. And Chris Christie showed up. He got applause just for showing up in a very conservative atmosphere. I believe Ben Carson showed up. Ted Cruz showed up. Scott Walker showed up. And probably been a couple more. I know Sarah Palin spoke too. So these are the things we're starting to listen to the sounds, the rumble, the pundits are talking. I've told you that we don't know exactly what's going on. And somebody was asking, I told you I heard George Will, and someone gave the question, who do you think is going to come out of the Republican nomination? And that's when he said that this field of candidates for possible being the Republican nominee is deeper as it's ever been in the Republican Party, all the way to 1856. And he said that's what primaries are for. That's what primaries are for. And so well he put it.
Hello, America. Todd Starnes here from the Fox News corner of the world, and you are listening to Rock Splitting Politics. Sweet mercy.
Woo! All right.
That's good.
Hey, and that was Todd Starnes setting us up for this segment with this is the second half of the interview that we started last week with Joshua Bernstein. Now, Joshua works with the Association of Matured American Citizens, and he helps with their political end. And I'm telling you, it's a great organization because they are the conservative, I guess the opposite of what the AARP is. AARP is went liberal. There's one reason we have Obamacare. They didn't fight Obamacare. They pushed Obamacare. So if you're a member of AARP, you may look at your card, may want to tear it up, join AMAC, and you can go to their website. They'll be glad to have you visit. But Joshua Bernstein, right here, he wrote an article about who he thinks would be, why he thinks these different presidential contenders will be knocked out, and they'll come down to one that he believes is the only one he thinks can win the Republican nomination and the presidency. So take a listen to what we talked about. I want to know, who do you think should be the Republican nominee in 2016?
Well, you know, I wrote an article on that, and okay. The article that I wrote is called 2016 Republicans, Why There's Only One Person That Can Win the White House.
Okay, now I have not read that article. I will go back and read it, but share your insight to my listeners. We discussed
well,
this
how much time here. Do we got? We got 8 minutes, seven, 8 minutes
yep,
at least?
Yeah, 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay. So basically, I went through the top 12 people that are running for Congress or have thought about it, have been mentioned in the media, that kind of thing. So this is in no particular order. You got Chris Christie. Okay, he's done some good things in my home state of New Jersey. He's fought the unions. He's, you know, cut taxes, things like that. He was a hard-talking, you know, former U.S. attorney. But he's got Tollgate, okay? He's got Tollgate wrapped around his neck, and the minute he tries to decide that he's going to run, they're gonna strangle him with that Tollgate thing. Not to mention the fact, is it just me, or is he constantly hugging the wrong people at the wrong time?
He's made a habit of that, it seems like, doesn't he?
He really has. Now, you got Jeb Bush. Has done some wonderful things in Florida as far as growing the economy, cutting taxes, you know, not having leniency on people on death row. He believes in the death penalty. So he's done some good things. But look, this is the guy that said, I can make Republicans accept amnesty. And then he says that illegal aliens are coming to America out of love. Well, if they're coming to America out of love and breaching our borders and taking our jobs, I'd hate to see what they're doing out of hate.
Well, and Jeb was also the one saying he didn't have to win the base to win the primary. And that,
right.
That
so these two are horrific. You got Dr. Ben Carson. A lot of people like Dr. Ben Carson. He's a good guy. You know, he's got a great American story. He's an excellent surgeon. He's the first one that separated conjoined twins at the heads. You know, that's kind of his claim to fame. But Again, he's never held elected office. He's soft on the Second Amendment. He's made some comments about that. And I think that maybe a lot of that might have to do with the fact that he was a trauma surgeon and brain surgeon. He's probably treated a lot of gunshot wounds. So I think in some respects he might actually be tainted from that. And I'm an absolutist when it comes to the Second Amendment. So for my money, I wouldn't want that one either. You got Mike Huckabee, great debater, great talker, TV show host, radio talk show host, excellent bass player. But again, soft on crime, soft on fiscal issues. He's raised taxes in Arkansas, you know, leniency for criminals and things like that. So again, I wouldn't want that one either.
Okay.
A lot of people talk about Santorum, and I'm running through these pretty quick. Santorum, great on social issues. You know, he was excellent record in the Senate, but one of the things that really upset me with him, and I think a lot of conservatives, is in that debate in 2012 when he was talking about No Child Left Behind, he said that he took one for the team, and sometimes you have to do that. And I don't want someone that would go against, you know, their principal values for political expediency. So for me and my money, I wouldn't want that one either. You got Rick Perry. Great record in Texas, but again, soft on illegals, gives in-state tuition to illegals. Plus, he was a big proponent of the highway that runs through the NAFTA superhighway, and that's too globalist thinking for me. You got Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, you know, excellent family man, great value system, you know, as far as his family.
Right.
Would have represented America, I really truly believe, in an excellent way. But he's not a politician. He's a businessman. He's afraid to talk about himself. That's ultimately what did him.
Mm-hmm.
Type of guy that's better off with, you know, a spreadsheet and a calculator. And he'd be good at, you know, as Treasury Secretary.
Yeah,
you got Alan West, I like. Ted Cruz, a lot of people like Ted Cruz. Rand Paul has a little bit too much Ronnie in him, if you know what I mean. I'm not talking about Reagan either. I liked Rubio, but he lost me on the Gang of Eight. So ultimately for me, there's one person. That one person is Governor Scott Walker. Governor Scott Walker has beaten the left not once, not twice, but three times, and he's done it in a blue state of all places. He's someone that's a reformer. He's a conservative. He's someone that said what he was going to do when he got elected. What he did to collective bargaining in the state of Wisconsin is legendary. And I like him the most out of everybody out there. I do hope that he runs, and I think that he's already proven that he can win. He already has the financial infrastructure and the organization to mount a 50-state campaign.
Well, that's what I told my listeners last week. About a year ago, I was out in San Diego meeting with some African-American conservatives, and that happened. Rick Wiley happened to be out there that was helped with the Romney campaign, and then I noticed that Scott Walker just hired Rick Wiley to help a potential presidential campaign. So, interesting.
Well, I'm not sure that's a good sign then. Anyone that, you know, Mitt Romney didn't win, so I'm not sure if...
He helped raise money for Mitt. He wasn't in control of the whole campaign.
Okay, he wasn't his campaign guy.
But now tell me, I got it, since you brought those out, now tell me, this is the thing that's concerned me when you get down to it. You got Scott Walker, you got John Kasich in Ohio. John Kasich won Ohio, and he can slam dunk say he can bring Ohio into the Republican column. Can Scott Walker say he can bring Wisconsin? And, you know, it's always gone Democrat in the last few presidential elections. So would that play a role?
I think the answer to that is the proof is in the pudding. He's already won three times in Wisconsin. He won the first time. Then he beat back the recall. He won that. And then he just won re-election. So I guess to answer your question, I mean, historically speaking, he's already done it three times. So for my money, he's already proven that he can win in the bluest of bluest states. And I believe that his acumen, his ability, and his background would really do well in the Midwest completely. I know I love him out here in the Southwest, and I'm sure, you know, even in the Southeast and those areas of the country, they would like him too. I would think he may have an issue maybe in the Northeast because they're more liberal out there, even the Republicans.
I think overall
he would do well.
Joshua, it's good having you on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Now, and you really ran down that list. I know you had to do it quickly, but you...
I did. I missed a couple there. I know there was Ted Cruz. I love Ted Cruz, by the way. I love Alan West. I've interviewed him on my show. You know, there's a couple others out there. Sarah Palin hasn't said much lately, but she's great. So, look, there's a lot of people out there that have the ability to do it. But I think for my money at this point, I like Scott Walker the most.
Well, I appreciate your input. I know our listeners do. And thank you so much for being on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Joshua.
Anytime you want me back, you let me know.
All right. Thank you.
God bless.
That's Joshua Bernstein, ladies and gentlemen, and we appreciate him being on. And now, let me remind you, you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. Yes, my book's available. You can get it. It's called Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can go to the website right there on the homepage. It'll link you right over where you can order the book. Again, our international listeners, you can go to Amazon, or if you got a gift card to Amazon, you can order the book on Amazon, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Now, one of the things that we've talked about is Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America will be following up our last segment of the show. Before I play that, I just want to remind you one more time, next week we will have a special exclusive clip of about a presidential question that I got to ask to George Will when I got to visit with him some. And also, for our baseball fans, I asked a Chicago Cubs question, and I'll give you those answers and what George Will said next week. And I did tell you that in 1856, yes, there was a presidential, that's when the Republicans first put a presidential nominee to run for president, 1856. It was Fremont, a great, one of the Western pioneers, but Fremont ran as the first Republican candidate. And the next one, 1860, Abraham Lincoln. And the rest is history. Now, here we are. Well, welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We got Larry Pratt, Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, a great organization. We've had Larry on before, and good to have you back, Larry.
Good to be back. Thanks so much.
Well, Larry, I know that there's a movie out that has a lot of liberals upset, and they were trying to diminish the effects of this movie. Can you tell us about that movie and what you know about it?
Well, I've happily been able to read a bunch about it. Unhappily, when my wife and I tried to go see it last Sunday, we couldn't get a ticket. They had one seat available at 10 o'clock, and that was it. And so we're going to make another stab at it in the near future, but with that kind of a sold-out situation, it's likely that they are going to be around for a while and we'll be able to catch.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The American people obviously have not listened to the liberal groups that want people to go see this, because it's something about the life of Chris Kyle, and that's a sniper, that most prolific sniper in American military history is what I've heard. So,
you know, I don't think the liberals have caught on, and it's been a long time that they should have by now. But when they first started talking about people not having assault weapons, even here at Gun Owners of America, I wasn't all that sure. And when I realized what they were talking about and that I shouldn't have one, man, I went out and bought me a bunch.
and you know, with what's going on in this country, and we still see there is a huge enthusiasm to protect the Second Amendment. So it's something that I think the politicians, some of them are just catching up to. The American people want to protect their constitutional rights, and especially the right to bear arms.
Well, they are doing it reluctantly and grudgingly. But you're right, because they've seen what happens electorally when you resist that bedrock opinion of the American people that guns are as American as apple pie or vice versa. So when they start talking about we shouldn't have too many, we shouldn't let them fall into the hands of bad guys. A lot of us have learned by now that means they want to make it hard for the rest of us to get a gun. They know the bad guys are going to get a gun no matter what, but all they do is make it difficult for us. And so we turn around and look at them and say, get away. What's the crime problem in Wyoming? And there you can buy a gun without a never mind from the government.
Yeah.
You know, you can carry without a never mind. And there's over five states like that, and those are not known as the high crime areas of our country. People imagine carrying a concealed firearm without any approval by anybody in the government. The idea.
And that's what has kept America America throughout our existence. And in other countries, we really forget in America how blessed we are to have this amendment, because there's very few countries on earth that have it written into their constitution. Are there any more offhand? Do you know if there are any more constitutions where you have the right to?
I'm not sure that it's written, but the Swiss tend to view it as do we. There's a certain firearms freedom support in Scandinavia, particularly as they've used their guns to fend off German and Russian invasion. But just to have the gun around to point at your own government, that's really an American thing. I think the Swiss kind of have some of that as well. And that's about it. You've just about covered the rest of the world when you talk about that. And interestingly, the Second Amendment has been employed a couple of times in my lifetime, uh-huh. Once in 1946 in Athens, Tennessee. Veterans returning from World War II came back to a home that was just corrupt as it could be there in Athens, and led to them taking up arms, and after a brief firefight with the cops from their cop shop, cops realized it wasn't going to turn out very well, so they ended up leaving the ballot boxes that they had just stolen on Election Day, and turned out the good guys won after all.
Now, that was Larry Pratt, and again, we got some more of that interview over the next few weeks. We'll be playing some of Larry Pratt's interview, and he has the knowledge of the Second Amendment. He knows so well what it takes to make America free, and there's always people trying to, should I just say it, they're trying to gun down the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. And Larry Pratt and Gun Owners of America, they stand up for our constitutional right to keep and bear arms. So I appreciate all the hard work Larry does. And I want to tell you that as we end the show, we have got some exciting things in the next few weeks. I've already told you, exclusive clips of George Will. We got Phyllis Schlafly coming on. And wow, I mean, some of you young people don't know Phyllis Schlafly. Wow, she goes back in the conservative movement all the way back to the Goldwater days, and we'll be talking to her. She's 90 years young. Her mind is just bright. Her voice is great, and I can't wait for you to hear some of her interview next week. And I appreciate you telling your friends and neighbors. We continue to grow because of people like you, and just, you know, you hear unique things here you won't hear anywhere else. We try to have some fun. We laugh and inform you. And that's the nature of this show, to help conservatives get fired up, to help you realize we can work together. We can turn this nation around. Our liberal friends who sometimes may detest some of the things I say, thank you for listening. Those who may be just monitoring me and seeing what I'm saying, like so many liberals do, continue to listen. What we want to do is be the voice of reason. We don't have all the answers, but I want people to understand it's okay to contemplate, to think, and to dream. And sometimes you can be wrong, but you help somebody else dream a little higher. You help somebody else, yes, if A plus B leads to C, somebody needs to hear plan B. Somebody may have plan A, they hear plan B, and then we get plan C which is the best plan sometimes. What I'm saying is, it's good. It's in the Bible and in the scriptures and Proverbs. It says, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's what we're doing here. That's what we want to do. That's why I have guests that sometimes I don't agree with. I go back in the archives and listen to Bishop Clarence Parks. I let him speak his heart about why he loves Barack Obama and so glad he's president of the United States. So when you listen to this show, it increases your brain power. It increases your ability to understand people and work with people. Not that we have to all agree, but we can agree to work together. And so those who go back and listen to the first show of the year, and I talk about Shemitah. You know what Shemitah is? Go back and listen to that first show. We talk about it. But I have got scheduled to interview Jonathan Cahn, the author of The Harbinger bestseller, 2 years on the New York Times bestselling list. And now he has The Year of Shemitah, and that's another bestseller. We got Jonathan Cahn lined up to come on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. He's been on before a couple years back when we talked about The Harbinger. And if you don't know what Shemitah is about, you better listen to the show coming up. We'll have it on in the next few weeks. And glad to let you know what's happening here at Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Tune in next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.